those, you know, the little wooden planes that you had to put the wings on and everything, and then you would throw it one time, it would hit the wall, and that was it. It would just crumble into pieces.
It would explode.
The Wright brothers had a better shot of getting off the ground at Kitty Hawk and staying up there for more than 5 seconds. I believe them. They're going down. I told them they were crazy. It is funny to just see like a six-year-old and his favorite thing to accumulate is, as he put it, a couple of sticks.
That's great, though, because my nephews and most little kids I know would rather play with a box or an actual stick than anything of you. So the fact that your grandson already has his mind on his money, good for him.
Oh, no, this kid is totally all in, man. He's like Elon Musk. His idol is Jeff Bezos.
I love it.
He dedicated his birthday cake to Jeff Bezos. And his entrepreneurial spirit. 6 years old, this kid. Unbelievable. Great. A little funny hat on and a nice little shirt.
The time.
Wake up with Defo, joined by Luby. Welcome to the Defo Show.
Remember the show Sunrise Semester?
Yes.
TV used to open up. Tommy's too young to remember that. Joined out here by our good friend Tommy from DGen Nation, a true degenerate and a fellow contemporary here, as we begin another hour of Degenerate Friday, a deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday, live trackside at Gulfstream Park. We often say this. It's a spectacular scene out here. We got Jersey Kyle out here, and we are, I don't even know if we're licking our wounds. We may as well be gargling with. Remember your mom used to put Mercurochrome on a cut? Did nothing, this stuff. Except, you know, it stung. It literally was the old Muhammad Ali thing. It stung like a bee the minute they put it in there, but it did nothing.
No, but it, you know what? It made the wound look worse than it was because it was very red and everything. So the kids around the neighborhood would think you were like a tough guy. You know, like, hey, look what happened when I fell off.
You looked like you were playing for Joel Quenville in the NHL.
Yeah,
right?
No, Mercurochrome
go ahead,
was...
cut me, Mick. Cut me. I got to get back out there.
Yeah, you should use that now. You know, use it as a couple of
checks. Mercurochrome.
Yeah,
you don't see that much
on
anymore.
Your face, go into a bar. Maybe somebody will feel sorry for you, like you got beat up or something.
Medieval alchemy. No, I'd be like being Chuck Wepner, calling on some of those accounts in Jersey.
You could tell people you are Wepner. You kind of resemble Wepner.
I'm starting to morph into Wepner, and I got the Wepner shorts on today, where you have your ugliest shorts, and you wear them to the beach. Anyway, good morning, everybody. Good to have you guys with us here at Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. We're live out here at Gulfstream Park, and it couldn't be better than to be trackside here. The Preakness comes up in a week at Jersey Kyle. Mike Luby Lubitz. A very paranoid Mike Luby Lubitz today.
Luby's out of his mind today. I mean, worse than, you know, usual. Usually he's crazy, but today he's really.
He has this big deal on the horizon. We're supposed to go down to some lawyer's office and sign some documents there, which naturally, of course, the fine print on that is. Well, it's like reading the disclaimer on those reverse mortgage ads that Celica's doing. I keep coming back to that. But where the whole screen is taken up by writing that nobody could ever decipher.
He's telling you one thing, but the thing that's going by says, if you do this, you're going to be dead. You can take all your money. You'll lose your house.
Your home, you may as well set fire to it.
It's not good.
And he comes on and, you know, very subtly tries to imply that he wouldn't be here. Unless he thought this stuff was on the level.
No,
it's kind of like our Derby picks. I mean, you got the same chance with that.
Yeah, they ended up going, what, 18th and 19th? We did good.
We had the reverse exacta, 18th and 19th, soup and sandwich and dynamic one. No, not, 18th and 19th. That's hard to do. Let me introduce Tommy out here. Tommy, and you can vouch for the fact, and you're a horse guy, and also a huge baseball fan. Who else comes out with an old vintage model Florida Marlins hat.
Yes. Those were the good old days, you know?
Yeah.
Two titles in 6 years, and ever since then it's been a rough run, but I got faith in my man Jeter to turn it around.
I do, too. I mean, shouldn't he be on a $20 bill, Derek Jeter?
Absolutely.
He's not in it to lose, is he? He's not like some guy that comes out here and blows all his money at the track. I mean, we're talking about Derek Jeter. People are implying, oh, yeah, well, he's just trying to make a quick score. What does he need a quick score for?
He's got
Hannah Storm? Hannah Davis. Is not the name of his lovely wife?
He's just a winner in life.
Hannah Storm's on SportsCenter.
When did she marry Jeter?
You're out of your mind.
Jeter might have dated him. He was doing a lot of things.
Hannah Storm's married to the guy that does golf.
Yes, the guy on NBC.
Yeah.
He's like the guy that's not Jim Nance that's doing golf.
Right. The guy that's not Nance.
No one knows his name, right?
The little Nance.
Dan Hicks.
He tries real hard, too.
Dan Hicks, there you go.
Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks, yeah. But he just can't say anything along the lines with Masters music and just go, hello, friends. And make you feel like, wow, man, I was staying overnight at Butler Cabin there, and I had one of those pimento and cheese sandwiches, and I decided, you know what, this is really cool. Let's get into the Masters. No, Dan Hicks, a poor man's second to Jim Nance on golf.
So your new campaign is to put Jeter on the $20 bill. This is nice.
I would take a $20 bill with Derek Jeter's picture on it. No, I mean, because in Jeter we trust, that should be written right under.
Absolutely.
Right under his picture.
All right.
Even if it's just a thumbnail photo of Derek Jeter. Did you have any Derek Jeter rookie cards, by the way, that you wanted to sell for like a couple of bucks?
Yeah, no, I got out of the baseball card game in like the late 80s, so they were all worthless now.
Yeah, I mean, they would be. Although we probably had some classics. Your old man probably had one of those Honus Wagner cards.
I don't know, but they ended up in the spokes of my bicycle, so it doesn't matter. You know, whatever they were, they're gone now.
It was one of the earliest forms of gambling degeneracy for me. And it was very popular in Brooklyn and other boroughs in New York, where you would flip baseball cards. And, like, winning one card at a time, it was almost like when they started the proliferation of exotics at the racetrack. Winning one card at a time in that match thing, which was, like, the dumbest thing, right? Because if you flip a coin and you throw it in the air, you catch it, and you flip it over on the palm of your hand or the back of your hand, whatever you had it in, whatever position it was in, if you flipped it as a head, it's coming up a tail, right? And it was the same thing with matchies in flipping baseball cards.
Well, you either played positions. You know, that was one game. If you threw over a pitcher and the other guy threw over a pitcher, then he would sweep the stack, right?
Okay, all right. There you go with exotics.
Then there was colors. That's cool. You know, if
that's
the color.
That's like a quinella right there.
Yeah. positions was one. Teams was another one. If you happened to flip a Met and the next guy flipped the Met, he took the stack. But that leaning game where you would flip.
Leaners was the best.
You needed some skill. You needed to lean it up there. And sometimes there would be 30, 40 cards that were laying on the floor. So one good leaner, you scoop up the whole pile. I mean, that was a score.
Major score.
You'd end up with like 38 Ed Brinkmans.
Because kids only flip the worst cards
and checklist. Everybody thought the checklist was worthless. It became worth a lot of money later on. The checklist.
The top
and
checklist.
The rookie cards, we hated all of them. Who is this Yastrzemski guy?
Yastrzemski, yeah.
And who cared about the Red Sox in New York? You would just as soon have somebody run over him with a truck. As win a bunch of races.
Well, I've told the story several times, and our good friend Leslie hates when I tell it about my Uncle Manny. She goes, is there going to be a show where you don't mention your Uncle Manny? But he once got a free transmission and a tune-up by forging the name of Yastrzemski on a Boston Red Sox hat.
Nice.
And traded it to the guy. He thought obviously the guy was not too slick. Thought it was actually Yastrzemski who had signed this hat, but it was my Uncle Manny, and he got a free transmission.
Who knew if Yastrzemski was actually signing? Nobody could make out the name.
Right. So it was very nice. So he got the tranny in his car fixed and a tune-up for a fake Yastrzemski hat. It was
awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
I thought the guy's name was Yastrzemski for the longest period of time.
Yeah.
Did you not? I mean, you know, it's the old buy a vowel thing. But nonetheless, it was great flipping baseball cards. And it was the earliest form of degeneracy. I mean, it was even, we didn't realize how much we were gambling with the time.
Yeah, no. I mean,
we might have had like thousands of dollars worth of baseball cards in any given pot.
Yeah, for sure. Even the commons from back then are valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah, the checklist. If you got the checklist card, that was good.
Checklist was the first thing I threw out. And I can't tell you, any time I got a Yankee, it was Johnny Blanchard, who was a good ball player, right? I mean, a four-string catcher that was hitting 20 home runs a year. That's how good the Yankees were. They were stacked, my friend. They were stacked. All right, Joel Quenneville later on. It's a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. That's the coach of the Panthers, Joel Quenneville. Who played like, man, this guy was, he broke in, with Maurice Richard, I think. He was in the league forever, and then he's been a coach for like 20-something years, this guy. Doing a hell of a job with the Panthers. Would you take, Tommy, 22-1 on the Panthers to win the Stanley Cup?
I think so. Hockey's not my forte, but I know they're doing well this year.
But
yeah,
you knew you could get 22-1. Yeah. You wouldn't care what you were betting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Take a shot.
On a winning proposition. Yeah.
For sure.
Sounds good. All right. So we're coming back with more. What do you think about our run for 71, the Deal Volkswagen campaign, over on the Marlins, 70 and a hook?
I love it.
I would think so, too.
Yeah. I love it.
I mean, it's looking good today. You were getting a little down about a week ago when you said, oh,
I was disgusted. I really was. I was ready to fake my own death.
Yeah. Got the first sweep of the season, so now that it's moving in the right direction.
You're too young to have considered faking your own death yet after a particularly brutal losing week.
Have you seen DeForest? I've been looking for him.
No, you have to set this up. I believe Morrison is alive, Jim Morrison.
He is.
The great singer from the Doors. There's no way he died at 25 in a bathtub. Right? Some Paris hotel. Get out of here.
We'll look into that more coming in our next segment. Is Morrison alive, Luby?
He's sucking down French pastries somewhere on the Riviera right now.
Probably 350 pounds.
Yeah. Unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Hey, you look a little like Jim Morrison.
You see that fat guy over there? It's Morrison. I told you he's been hiding out.
I look more like Jack Morris. What are you talking about?
Sings karaoke at some spots sometimes.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar.
Eric DeRidd says you're killing it today, Jersey Cobb, by the way. All right, we're coming back with more in a moment. What was that, Horace? Dynamic One?
Dynamic One.
Here, boy.
From the Fletcher Barn.
Over there by the condos? Where is he, Jersey Cobb? How can we bury people in the Preakness?
Looking like a horse, finished looking like a pig. That happens with some
Tommy
of
said
horses.
He made some secret score the day before that he didn't even tell his friends about.
Nice.
Dylan and the boys from D-Gen Nation.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Caught a nice pick three. That was nice.
Now, were you on your own, or was Swifty involved?
Swifty actually gave me the long shot. So I singled Malathot in the Oaks, and then I singled the horse in the next leg. There was no double in that race. It was only the Oaks Derby double, and I went five deep in the third leg. And Swifty's horse got a photo by about 2 inches, 17-1. So $5 pick three came back like two dimes.
Hello, darling.
Yeah, $25 bet.
Dimes.
That's nice. $25 bet. And to get a
Spiller
photo.
Zuno
nice.
Time, man. Yeah. Just go straight in cash at the money store.
Money store.
What are you talking about, man? Could you use $2,000 that came out of nowhere? This Swifty is a sick one, though, and you've been to that restaurant. The Gambling Gourmet is going to be with us later on, Mike Mayo, and I think he had a very favorable opinion of Dada and Del Rey.
Dada's awesome.
So I don't know these guys that well, and first thing I see, they're hanging out with Paco Lopez. Right?
Paco Lopez.
At Dada, so I thought, all right, that's validation that these guys are legit.
Yes.
Right? Because Paco's not hanging out with a bunch of schmanks.
When they introduced you to the great Paco Lopez, did they say...
That's the first thing I mentioned to him.
Did they say, Jeff, I'd like you to meet Paco Lopez?
No, I said, Paco, you know, you're famous on our show because we always do the example of the English to Spanish translation.
Yes.
And you are the ultimate example of that. When you would be introduced to him by, say, you know, a guy like Greg DeVincent or Billy Badgett, and they would go, hey, Depo, this is Paco Lopez. And then when you're out at the track, all you hear is, Paco Lopez, Paco Lopez. English, Spanish. But no, good guy. And so we sit down at the table, and I meet this guy, Swifty. I don't know too much about him, and I see he's, sort of disengaged from the conversation. And, like a lot of people today, you don't know what they're doing, but they're all absorbed in their cell phone. And then, we'd waited a few minutes. They were very busy that night, but the service was pretty prompt. And, I had had a couple of, wines at the bar there, so I was ready to chow something down.
You usually have a couple on your way there, too.
These guys order like they were at the Last Supper, and they had all just scored two dimes, though. I mean, I don't mess around. So, like, 20 plates come to the table at the same time.
Yeah.
And they put, like, two of them in front of Swifty, who's, a little bit, he could probably lose a couple of pounds. And
yeah, take off a few, will you?
So what happens? He lets out a blood-curdling scream. No! And the waitress panics and goes, well, what do you mean? You didn't order the Brussels sprouts? And it turned out he had just gotten nosed out at Turfway Park at about 9 o'clock at night on the fourth race.
30-1 shot.
That'll ruin your dinner, right?
They had to call paramedics for him. He nearly passed out.
He had to do the Heimlich maneuver.
Naturally, I pinched the portion of his grilled cauliflower, because I was looking to lose a few myself. All right, so we're coming back with more here. The Marlins winners last night, they swept the Diamondbacks. That was good for the deal Volkswagen run for 71.
Yes.
And it made Tommy happy, too, because he's a giant Marlins fan, a huge Marlins fan. Say they win 3-1, and they go again tonight. They left Trevor Rogers, who's become kind of an ace of sorts.
Solid.
Yeah, he's been great so far this year, except he gave up that 3-run home run. Is Zimmerman Jewish? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know if he's a member of the tribe. I'm not sure.
I'm going to say yes to that. All right, back with more in a moment. Anyway, the Marlins play tonight. I believe it'll be a 6:40 start. I like that, the early post time for the Marlins games. And Joel Quenneville going to join us later on, the coach of the Panthers. They're having a red-hot season. The Gambling Gourmet later on. Jersey Kyle is here, a paranoid Mike Luby Lubitz, my good friend Tommy from D-Gen Nation. And I'm Jeff DeForest. We'll be back with more Trackside here at Gulfstream Park in a moment. Now that.
The time.
She's still with you, that girl? It's 7:22.
The Modern Day Odd Couple, Defoe and Louie, are on now. It is, of course, the Defoe Show.
That was like spray painting a Van Gogh at the Museum of Art, no, Louie? To butcher that brilliant Mick Hubert play-by-play call with the overzealous color man who starts screaming right away as soon as the play develops.
Oh, I can't believe it! Look at that! It's wide open! Oh, my God!
I love that.
Meanwhile, here's an artist, right? Mick Hubert. You talk about Jim Morrison coming up with Light My Fire. And he has a perfectly eloquent and Vin Scully-esque description where you can actually picture everything that's happening on a play. But fortunately for him, the color man kind of laid out, as they say in the business, and didn't butcher the call. Willie Mays, now here's an interesting thing. Were you not a Mays fan, even though he was a nemesis to the teams that you rooted for? And it's weird, too, how guys, now Pujols is going to be known for this, like, broken-down appearance in his last 10 years as an angel getting $24 million a year, hardly worth that kind of money, after a brilliant career where he hit, like, 660 home runs. I mean, just an incredible career. And supposedly, with apologies to Bob Baffert, no juice. Is that possible that Albert Pujols, what do you think, Tommy? No juice on Pujols?
I think it's possible.
Yeah?
You know, regardless, he's one of the best hitters I've ever seen. I mean,
it was great, man. When he was with the Cardinals, he was winning, like, the MVP every year. Just absolutely tremendous. But he goes out and is going to be remembered for, you know, getting cut by the Angels, right? And they had that dreadful press conference where even Joe Maddon was having to feign horror that they were letting go of the great Albert Pujols. And meanwhile, privately, he's saying to the general manager, get rid of this bum now. Just pay him. He's a stiff. We got young guys.
Cut him loose.
And chomping at the bit, right? You just turned out the pasture here as if you were some 10-year-old plater at Buehler Park.
It happens.
It does.
Yeah. And Willie Mays, unfortunately for a lot of people, will only be remembered for that swinging bunt with the Mets.
Yeah.
Which was like his only hit in a season where he hit like 129. On 8 at-bats. Is that possible? No, he would have been 1-for-8.
I remember when
125.
I remember when he stepped down, you know, because the Mets were running after that pennant, and he just said, Willie, say goodbye.
How about the hat always flying off, right? Didn't you always knock your hat off when you were running around trying to catch an easy fly in the outfield? You just would knock your hat
off
deliberately.
Just to look like Mays.
And then trying to do the basket catch, which was often a mistake if you timed it wrong.
Yeah.
And the ball pop happened to hit you in the wrong area there. Yeah. And I missed your glove entirely.
Hit you in the beak.
Worse. I'm thinking lower body injury.
Oh, you really?
I should have yelled too.
How many of you did it out there, huh? You tried to make the basket catch and things went awry. All right, we're coming back with more here on a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. The great people at Deal Volkswagen. We will feature a Deal Volkswagen DeForest Files. That's coming up around the corner. Later on, around 8:35, the head coach of the Panthers making his initial appearance here on a show, Joel Quenneville. We waited until he got good. I know he's won 3 Stanley Cups, but that was in Chicago, and that was years ago, my friend. And there were rumors, you know, they were always going to talk about a guy like it was Luc Belair, like it was a shot fighter, the great Luc Belair.
Yes.
Do we ask him about Luc Belair and see if he knows anything about this young stud hockey player from Winnipeg?
I would ask him that, but I think that might be the last time he comes on your show when you ask him if a champagne.
Do you think he would know it was a champagne?
I think if he
This will be the test, right?
Luc Belair.
Joel, have you heard about this kid, Luke Belair, there? He's tearing it up in the juniors. And if he says, yes, we've heard some good things about him.
Yeah. Don't do
it. Hang up on the coach of the Panthers? You can't do that. I mean, would you sabotage a guest on your show with a stupid thing like that?
You would do anything, but, you're insane. So what does it matter?
I just like saying Luke Belair. Shoot the puck, Luke! All right, we're coming back with more in a moment here on the Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday edition from the trackside location around at Gulfstream Park here. Racing later on this afternoon. Luca Panici, I don't know if he has any mounts today, but he's in there tomorrow, and he says thanks for welcoming him back.
Say that twice.
Welcoming him back.
That was Luca!
That was on tape.
Yes.
Certain portions of this program were taped
and
pre-recorded. All right, as is the Deal Volkswagen Divorce Files, that's coming up, and more news about Deal Volkswagen. A lot of new things going on there. We come to you trackside from Gulfstream Park, and we'll be back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 7:33. From Jehovah's Witness to NBA Journeyman. That story in a moment. Hi, Jeff DeForest here for the great people at Deal Volkswagen. It's post time at the races. Are you looking for the perfect little filly to get you around town? Well, Deal Volkswagen has plenty of certified pre-owned vehicles. It's like getting a new car without paying the new car price. They're basically selling them wholesale to the public. And they all come with the trifecta, a clean Carfax vehicle history report, great mileage, and better prices. Jetta models, Passat models, and Tiguan models, all at great prices with Volkswagen-backed warranties. Check out their inventory online and see the great quality selection they have. Only showroom-quality vehicles and many with just one owner. Real cream puffs and new inventory arriving daily, so check often. Head down to their classic location at 3601 Bird Road, get in the winner's circle with a certified pre-owned vehicle, and you'll be saying it's all about the DEEL. Carfax vehicle history reports are based only on information supplied to Carfax. Carfax does not have the complete history of every vehicle. There was much fanfare over the trade deadline acquisition of Victor Oladipo by the Miami Heat. The team acquired Oladipo by dealing a couple of players deemed more than expendable considering their contribution to salary ratio. Despite his injury history and pending free agent status, Oladipo was considered more than worth the wait. What was lost in the transaction, even if, as it has played out, he either didn't make much of a difference for Miami down the stretch of the regular season or ended up elsewhere next year. But the acquisition that has really paid dividends involved little buzz at all. In signing Dewayne Dedmon, Miami seemed to answer an even bigger need than Oladipo potentially provided by getting a big man who could alleviate some of the rebounding and scoring pressure on all-star big man Bam Adebayo. Dedmon is a definition of an NBA nomad and is unlikely a reason for what had been a recent surge, as one could imagine, for the team. A virtual unknown, Dedmon's path to this position is a blueprint for the definition of a basketball journeyman. Blocked by playing basketball in high school because of his mother's deep religious convictions, he was able to finally hit the gym in his senior year after overcoming her strict restrictions aimed at not having any such distractions from his devotion to being a Jehovah's Witness. He would wind up at Antelope Valley College, hardly considered a stepping stone to the NBA, where he played one season before transferring to the University of Southern California, USC. Undrafted after foregoing his final year of college eligibility in 2013, he was signed by Golden State, but wound up in the NBA's developmental league until landing in Philadelphia in 2014. That would lead to brief stops in Philly, Orlando, Erie Bay, San Antonio, Atlanta, Sacramento, Atlanta again, and finally, after being out of the league, in Miami. In 11 games with the Heat, he's averaged 13 minutes per contest with 8 points and 6 rebounds per game. Has provided a spark inside that was sorely missing during his brief stints on the court. It may not leave enough of an impression to guarantee this will be his last stop on his NBA tour, but it is impressive to see the 7-footer make a significant contribution nearly every time Spo taps him to come off the bench and play. It makes for an interesting sidebar to a strange Miami Heat follow-up season to their NBA Finals appearance a year ago. It seems Oladipo will be gone next year, but after what we've seen from Dedmon, it's no certainty we will see Dedmon walking from one more team. Jeff DeForest for the DeForest Files. So happy to have him back on the show, the great Tom Rinaldi joins us, ESPN, ABC, and virtually everywhere else.
Is there any way, and I'm just put you on the spot right here.
Yeah.
Can we get a little piano or violin music bed right now?
We wanted to do this, because we actually had a proposition for you. We had a crowning achievement on the show where a kid skipped school to come to the racetrack to pick up a couple of tickets that he won for a Dolphin game. We thought that was a big moment, so if you have anything on that, we'd love it.
A boy faces a difficult decision to further his own education or have the chance to profit through gambling. That trail, filled with missteps, can often lead to peril. But for this young man, it led to the glory we call profit.
We now return to the Defoe Show.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves
people ask me, hey, what were some of your favorite moments of your long career here in South Florida radio? Welcome back to the show, by the way. A deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday is well underway here on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone. And as the great Jimmy Lennon Sr. might say, around the world on the iHeartRadio app, man. That's a good thing, that iHeartRadio app, right? You have people listening, what, in New Jersey? Our man Don O'Malley up there, the godfather of fun.
Yeah, Don O'Malley, Turnpike Tonsky.
Turnpike Tonsky is one real character, huh? When he's down here in South Florida, Turnpike Tonsky, all he wants to do is go to the track. In fact, I have to say, you know, speaking of racing, the boys from Boston were down here. You know, the Mustangs crew from Boston, the Boston Cops?
Yes.
They've been coming down here for like 25 years on an annual basis.
They used to invade Stingers up there.
Oh, they're tearing up. They were at Stingers' private party.
Nice.
Dave B. looked like he was outside of Buckingham Palace trying to make sure, the guy that owns Stingers, trying to make sure that nobody got into this private party. Not even, you know, Mustang and me, which we know all these guys. But what did they want to do? They wanted to brag about all of their scores that they made at the track. See, there's something to that. You know, when you go big game hunting at a racetrack, or, you know, and people are doing this in other formats right now. In fact, I just found out about something very insane in a degenerate way where, you know, the professor has now been obsessed. He was betting all kinds of weird stuff. I almost said something that rhymes with zit.
That's
during the pandemic, right? That would have been 2 weeks in a row. Right? What's going on with that brain, DeForest? You better get that Prevagen. You got any jellyfish I can eat? I mean, that seems to be the thing that restores your memory.
Jellyfish.
Do you buy into that?
No.
Is Diana Nyad would have never forgotten a thing if that was true. She was swallowing jellyfish from Havana to Key West.
That was sick. What was that? That was disgusting. That poor woman's face. I mean, you talk about looking like Chuck Wepner. She looked
exactly
like Chuck Wepner when they pulled her out of the water.
She was wearing a jellyfish on her head that looked like a yarmulke, right? I thought she was straight out of shul. I'm like, wow.
Oh.
You heard about Cuban Jews, so it's possible
exactly
that she might have gone to Schuller.
Swimming from Cuba to the Keys, that's something I always...
You know, not exactly. So I had trouble just swimming from one side to the other at the Barefoot Beach Villas pool.
I was going to say.
And it wasn't like this was any kind of Olympic thing. It's like, hey, Michael Phelps.
I would find you face down in the pool a couple times when I'd stop by the Defoe Mansion back in
Marty
the old
DePardi,
days.
Marty DePardi, the Homeowners Association president, was not particularly fond of that maneuver.
Yes.
Where there was a dead body floating in the pool. Speaking of which, although we could have all dove in there right after we buried everybody in the Derby, but this is a sickness, and I don't know, Tommy, did you experience this or any of your crew where there was nothing happening during the early portions of the pandemic? Thank God for Billy Badgett keeping horse racing alive here at Gulfstream Park. Or the average degenerate out there that's tuned in on a deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday would have had no action, so people started manufacturing stuff.
Yeah.
Taiwanese baseball. Did you find yourself falling into that trap, or you're not a big sports bettor? Because you're of the group there of D-Gen Nation people that I've come across now. You seem to be the most, refined in terms of being able to control.
Yeah, I try to pick my spots
yourself
a little more than others.
Others? The other guys are sending in at 50 grand a day. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so it's...
are the rumors true that you guys were doing like $500 Exacta boxes at Northfield Park in the middle of the night?
I had a $600 cold Exacta. Evan, don't mention my name, was witness to this. And he tried to pass it off as if it was nothing, Evan, when the guy mentioned, yeah, I got a $300 one way in a $300 box.
Yeah, that's Swift. Swift's on another level. I mean, I'll be driving the car with him, and I try to have a conversation with him, and it's like talking to a wall.
He's
on the next race while we're in the car. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
Grab the wheel, will you? I got to watch the third at Beulah.
Exactly.
The man is betting $600 cold exactas at Northfield. There's only $642 in the pool.
What would he have done? What would this guy
Home
have done?
Home of the flying turns, it's known as. In other words, your horse is going to go flying on this turn into the parking lot.
But could you imagine Swifty
they
back
They tell
in
you straight up, don't bet this stuff.
Could you imagine him back in the day when you would, like, you know, make that dash when you'd have to get to the track for the first race? Now they just bet on the computer.
Yes.
Everything's
right.
easy. But
right.
you Defoe used to set the land speed
man.
Record
yeah.
trying to make the early double.
Craig Breedlove, on the Utah Salt Flats or whatever that was.
Guys,
Salt Flats.
600 miles an hour down the 95 to get to the first race at Hialeah back in the day.
Chris Economac. He just cracked it there, Jimmy. Just cracked it. The land speed record is a new record.
There goes Defoe.
As a new champion.
On that note, I'm trying to get Swifty to closing night at Pompano on Sunday. And
so we
exit the turnpike at Martin Luther King there. And he's like, come on, we got 8 minutes. You got to hammer
minutes.
This. He's texting Gabe Pruitt. Hey, Gabe, can you drag the post a little bit for us? I need to bet this pick five on track.
Late post time.
Yeah.
Kind of sick. But this it became sick for a lot of people where they were just betting stuff that, we're always betting stuff we have no clue about. But
when the pick
Australian rules football blossomed here. And the professor is now a late scratch on the program today because he was up until 5 in the morning, Luby tells me, watching Australian rules football where he had intense action.
Rooting in Geelong or whatever.
Denominations of money that exceeded even what he made on selling that waterfront house that he bought for $500,000 20 years ago. Unbelievable.
I love it.
Yeah, no. I mean, everybody will find something. And proof of it was that when the pool in the late pick five at Fawner Park exploded to $3 million or something.
Yeah. You know. Every night we were betting this stuff. I mean, these were stiffs, so we didn't even know what state the track was in.
The jockeys were older than you. I mean, you talk about older or younger than Defoe. I mean,
I thought I saw Donald Brumfield riding the favorite. the old hard boot himself, Donnie Brumfield here. Wow, he was good in New Jersey. We're coming back with more. Speaking of Jersey, Jersey Kyle going to be with us. Do you have a horse already this week, a burial special?
I do. I have another horse to give out this week. I'm not going to go down as a loser. I'm going to try to make a comeback and give everybody a winner tomorrow.
Tommy is a very shrewd handicapper, as evidenced by the fact that he was the only winner on Derby weekend.
I'll give you one at Belmont for Saturday. The horse is coming off a long layoff, though, but yeah. One of my favorite horses in training.
And he's very quiet about it, very humble about it.
Anything you got, Tommy, please. Don't forget to
he's
give it to
He's out in
him.
The morning with binoculars and a telescope. I mean, up there in the height of the stands watching horses train.
I saw him feeding horses sugar cubes out here over by the rail looking for information. I mean, what's
How about when you gave out that loser that supposedly came from George the Animal Steel who thought he ran into Shug McGahee? Who is wearing some tattered overcoat and watching some horse work out for the first time at Saratoga. And it turned out it wasn't Shug. It was your Uncle Manny. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Oy vey, the people in degeneracy. It's 7:51. Thanks so much, Rick Pitino. It was a pleasure having you on. You're welcome any Degenerate Friday to join us. Hopefully Jersey Kyle will come through. He was so worried you were coming back from Greece that he wouldn't have that boat lift in time.
Well, I signed the contract before Greece. That was 7 months ago. I came home. Electrical work would be done, but unfortunately, he's hanging out with you guys betting Oakland Park.
Fawner Park today. No, that's expedited by his usual process. So you're getting the royal treatment.
I would have been agreeable to pay him in euros, but he wouldn't do it.
If you funneled it into his home betting account, he'd be happy.
The cafecito is piping hot. Why not enjoy it with Defoe and Luby? It's now time for the Defoe Show.
I couldn't believe you sent a guy named Old Sparky out to Patino's house. The great Rick Pitino, who took Iona from nothing, from the scrap heap this year. They were finished. Nobody ravaged more by COVID-19 considerations than Iona College and Rick Pitino in his first year there. And he gets them into the NCAA tournament, a fine distinction, taking yet another team, a fifth team, into the NCAA tournament. Maybe, two, three other guys have done that? And you send Old Sparky over there to wire up his boat dock? Plus, I mean, it's near the water, Jersey Kyle. Have you no consideration for mankind?
It was a mistake on my part. I admit it now. I mean, when the dock lit up like a Christmas tree in Times Square, you know, it was a little scary.
Thank God Pitino wasn't home when they tested the lighting out there.
thank God that the, one of his guys that you know does work around the house was there and was able to extinguish the fire before it became like a five alarmer or something. Yeah. You know, it was good. But
there you go. You would have been the lead on Sports Center that night. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Tommy, where are you? I want that money back.
We wrote enough obituaries this year without you getting involved in something like that. To a young man, he was playing in that Masters basketball tournament just 2 years ago. All right, we're coming back with more. Getting rolling here on a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. Great people at Deal Volkswagen going nuts with the Triple Crown. Triple Crown of Savings. I like that.
Yeah.
That's happening all through the month of May here at Deal Volkswagen. And, of course, we're trackside at Gulfstream Park. Live racing today. Racing at Gulfstream. The great Pete Aiello on the call. And you can send it in on firstbet.com if you can't make it out here, or else get yourself a seat at GulfstreamPark/events.com. Back with more on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app in a moment. Now that.
The time.
She did look like Wepner when she got out of the water, huh? Diane? It's 8 o'clock.